Manuscript Releases, Volume 1, Numbers 19-96. M.R. Number 90. Miscellaneous Items. Statements for a document on the use of drugs. Release requested for document on the use of drugs. The Savior is present in the sick room, in the operating room, and His power for His name's glory accomplishes great things. 159, 1899, 5. The Privileges and Duties of a Christian Physician, December 13, 1899. It is our privilege to use every God-appointed means in correspondence with our faith, and then trust in God when we have urged the promise. If there is need of a surgical operation and the physician is willing to undertake the case, it is not a denial of faith to have the operation performed. After the patient has committed his will to the will of God, let him trust, drawing nigh to the great physician, the mighty healer, and giving himself up in perfect trust. The Lord will honor his faith in the very manner he sees is for his own name's glory. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Isaiah 26, verse 3, 4. Christ is the greatest medical missionary that ever lived. He never lost a case. He understands how to give strength and guidance to the physicians in this institution. He stands beside them as they perform their difficult surgical operations. We know that this is so. He has saved lives that might have been lost had the knife swerved a hair's breadth. Angels of God are constantly ministering to those for whom Christ has given his life. God gives the physicians of this institution skill and efficiency because they are serving him. They know that their skill is not their own, that it comes from above. They realize that there is beside them a divine watcher who gives wisdom to his physicians, enabling them to move intelligently in their work. 28, 1901, 9. Talk given by Mrs. E. G. White at the Battle Creek Sanitarium, March 27, 1901. Open the windows of the soul heavenward. Release requested for article in the Review and Herald. John calls our attention to the love God has bestowed on us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. 1 John 3, verse 2. Can we comprehend this love? Even if we expanded the mind to its utmost limit, could we take in its measurement or give the gift of love the appreciation it deserves? Although for ages sin has been accumulating, although through falsehood and artifice, Satan has cast the black shadow of his interpretation upon the Word of God, yet the Father's mercy and love have not ceased to flow earthward in rich currents. If human beings would open the windows of the soul heavenward in appreciation of the divine gifts, a flood of healing virtues would pour in, leading men to exclaim, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." 1 John 4, verse 10. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. For us He gave His only begotten Son up to suffer a life of abuse, insult, mockery, and rejection. We can never endure what Christ endured, never suffer what He suffered. In His dying charge to Timothy, Paul said, Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot and unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall shew, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12 to 16. Letter 79, 1900, pages 10 to 13. To William Kerr, May 10, 1900. White Estate, Washington, D.C. April 24, 1957.